Salah runs up. Usual left foot. Goal! Goal! Brilliantly sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. And the Egyptian king can't stop scoring. He scores again. It's 7 now in his last 6. 16 for the season. Great penalty kick as he touches the air to the travelling Liverpool fans. Girona 0, Liverpool 1.
Mo Salah with another decisive penalty, described by Steve Hunter there on commentary. And that was enough in the end to secure a 1-0 victory for the Reds away to Girona and make it 6 wins from 6 in this season's Champions League. I'm Becky Davis, and coming up on this episode of The Reaction, we will hear from Arne Slot and the returning Alison Becker too. Former Reds defenders Phil Thompson and Martin Kelly, who joined me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our fan panel, who were also on the programme. Ryan Payton, Tom Greaves and Camelia Abdembi-Bohills from the official LFC Supporters Club in France. Tom, I quite enjoyed that. It was an entertaining game,
I'm glad
I think.
You did, Becky.
Well, it's, I enjoyed it more once the goal went in, but yeah, just about had enough in the end.
It is. It's one of those games where you just seen them. As soon as they were coming out of the tunnel, Girona, you knew it was their biggest day. The fans, there's only 14,000 in there. And you just knew it was going to be really difficult. We've got to be at it. I understand the players, and Martin will do. Your levels do drop for games like this. You know who they are, what they are. The 9th in La Liga. Mm. It's a massive game for them. Probably the biggest game that they've had, besides obviously Real Madrid, Barcelona going there. This is huge.
Yeah.
So they wanted it. They turned up. The first probably 15 minutes, I don't think they got out of their own half. But then they gradually
grew
got
confidence,
into it.
Didn't
Absolutely.
They, I think, as the game went on, Martin, a little bit, Girona?
Yeah, I think the first 20 minutes, we've seen about 10 corners as well, didn't we? So it was... It was entertaining, yeah. I think they played, you know, okay. We sort of stuck with it. We've done that quite a lot this season. So it was one of them games that, when you look back, it was one of them that if you win, it just makes the next, you know, couple of weeks, few weeks, yeah, better for us as a squad.
It needed that second goal to kill it off, so we could relax, I think, didn't it, Tomo? But...
So many games are like that, Beck. You're always wanting that second goal to feel a little bit more comfortable. But as the game went on, you've seen after 75 minutes, it's like somebody's gone, right, that's it, 75 minutes, we're going to have a go. All of a sudden, it was a higher press. They were looking to close down Ali in goal, and it was, they were having a little bit of a go. If we wanted to, we could have stepped it up and got between the lines very, very quick.
I was going to say that it felt like Liverpool maybe had another gear in them if they needed to go to that. Yeah, maybe two more
gears. Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of getting Ali back his first game, he was called upon a good few times,
made
a good few saves, and just getting them 3 points really, so we can go into the next couple of games knowing that, you know, we're half into the next stage, and I think Arne going back on the plane with the lads now will be made up with the result tonight. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the game plan from Girona, it's probably something we've seen from a lot of teams where it's kind of sit back and allow Liverpool to have that possession and try and sort of hit them on the break and from set pieces, I suppose.
There was times in that second half where you're looking at the team block, and it was from the edge of the box, probably only about 12 yards from the back line to the forwards, and it was astonishing. And it's hard. You keep on going. And all you have to do is just lend each other the ball, just keep moving it, trying to wait for that sort of, that half chance. And it was like that all the time. And I think the boys deserve a lot of credit, because when you've got it all the time, you're going, I've been here 5 seconds ago in this same position. So to keep your concentration was absolutely terrific from the boys.
Yeah, I was going to say, how hard is it to play when a team sets up like that against you? Because the toil, and I suppose it's just keeping that confidence that what you're doing will eventually work, and they'll probably tire a little bit at the same time.
Yeah, it's sticking to the game plan, I think, from the Liverpool lads. They would have gone in at half-time and not been too disappointed, but like Tomo said, if they'd have stepped it up a little bit, you know, did a one easily tonight. It's one of them games that you've seen the likes of Romeo done exceptionally well in front of their back four, didn't he? So he was cleaning up a lot of them through balls that, usually we'd pick them sort of balls with, you know, Dominic, the runs that he makes, he usually picks them balls up. So fair play to them tonight, who defended really well at times and made it difficult for Liverpool.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got to give them credit because, as you say, at the start of the game, it looked like it might be quite straightforward for Liverpool, but then they showed a fair few flashes of ultimately why they're in this competition this season.
Yeah, it is. These finished third in La Liga last year, above the likes of Valencia, Atletico Madrid. So it's quite something. But they sold the best players, and they sold the best player who scored most of the goals. And as you could see there, Dan Juma had a couple of chances, which Ali saved. Daley Blind obviously missed an absolute sitter right in front of goal. But generally lacked that, really, that cutting edge. The save that Ali had to make, except for the one maybe in the top corner, they were predictable. So they had a go and they'd done them. So they're probably happy with a 1-0 defeat.
As Martin said, probably a busier game than Ali might have anticipated on his return, but he's got a bit of practice in there tonight, at least.
Yeah, it wasn't his first save. He's probably gone, oh, wow, because I think it was Daley Blind has missed his...
It was very early on, wasn't it?
He's missed his chance, but the ball's come back. I can't remember who it was, but he's had a shot from only about 12 yards and Ali saved it with his back leg and then dived on it. So it's good goalkeeping practice. He'll have been delighted with that one.
Yeah, now won six of their opening six games. Only the second time that's happened. Previously happened not that long ago in 21-22, when the first seven fixtures. I mean, this has been one of the toughest of the bunch tonight, ironically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, coming to the little smaller grounds like this and knowing that if you do sort of win this, you're into, or you're there or thereabouts getting into the next stage. But they were trying to get that win tonight there towards the lower end of the table. So you could tell their pre-match little huddle they'd done in the change rooms and stuff. They were going to come out and start well, wasn't they? So it was tough for the lads, but to concede one goal in six games, I mean, fair play to the whole of the team.
Let's speak about that. Obviously, the main talking point, which is the penalty that leads to the goal, of course, from Mo Salah. Initially, it looked like a slip, didn't it? But there's a certain... You not think?
No, I'm not having it. I called it quite quickly. Van der Beek, he doesn't get anywhere near the ball. He plants that leg down actually on Luis Diaz's foot as he comes through with it. And you could see it at the time. I said, that's a penalty, doing the commentary with Steve Hunter. And the more you looked at it, the more it's absolutely nailed on.
There's an angle from behind, isn't there, I think, where it's very obvious he's
I think the referee had a good game, Becky. I think he'd done really well, the referee. And not to say it was no sort of slight on his decision-making, because there were so many people around Luis Diaz, so many players. So you've got it. That's where VAR actually works. Because they've said, go and have a look. As soon as he'd done that, and we were watching the replays, and you see him come and plant his foot right on Lewis's ankle, and you know it's going to be like that once he's gone. But when they started showing the clips, it actually stopped before he plants his foot on him, and I'm thinking, if the VAR, the referee's looking at what I'm looking, he'd be going, well, he's not touched them.
Yeah.
But he's obviously seeing it through and not getting the whole outlook of the decision.
Tomo saw it straight away. What about you? We were watching it in the office. I don't know whether we were quite as convinced instantly, but...
Yeah, no, ultimately, the replay, it showed that if you take a player's boot off before he's about to shoot, that's ultimately his foot that's
cut and dry, isn't
impeded
it?
On his shot. So I think he would have known Van der Beek straight away when it went to VAR that it was going to be a penalty. It was clear, wasn't it, that his boot came off.
Yeah, I think Virgil van Dijk was quite incensed by it. Obviously, he had Luis Diaz's boot up in the air. It's quite a sore one as well on the back of your Achilles, I imagine that.
Yeah, it was a bad one. We were a little bit worried doing the commentary that he had injured himself because he's come down right on his ankle, his Achilles. His boot's come off. And Virgil could see it. He says, this has not come off by accident, by the way. This is a proper foul in the box. So Virgil was quite... Maybe that had a little bit to do with it, referee. You know, this is quite serious. It's not something that you can just sort of put away. So that little bit was a proper captain's role.
Yeah, and a really good penalty as well from Mo Salah, wasn't it? Sends the keeper the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the replay of the penalty, and nowadays in the modern game, you see the run-up and the guys all have a little look and see which way the goalie goes before the shoot, but it was clear that he'd picked his spot before he ran up. He kept his head down, and another great penalty taking him to, what was it, 50 Champions League goals.
Yeah, so there's just
needs one more to get 50 for Liverpool in Europe. Needs one more as well to join Billy Little on the all-time goal scorers list, which is quite phenomenal. That would put him in joint fourth place. He's got 227 at the moment, needs 228 to equal Billy Little. I mean, we say it a lot, but I mean, he is a legend, you know, that we're watching at the moment. I think we'll only really appreciate it in a few years' time.
We're witnessing something special. You know, and we can go and, you know, people will see games from Mo Salah and go, oh, he's quiet, he's having a quiet game. He always makes an impact, always, either an assist or a goal. And you can't buy that. Somebody who consistently is doing, I don't know what now his goal involvements will be, but it'll be the best in the Premier League, probably best in the Champions League.
Yeah.
He keeps on producing every couple of games. We've got better stats for Mo Salah. Legend status, he deserves it. But the amazing thing is, Becky, you don't get it until you leave.
Yeah.
And that sounds really harsh, that real legend status. You know,
you don't know what you've got until it's gone, though. It's that thing,
Robbie Fowler, I was going to say Michael Owen then, God bless him. but it is, you get that, and Mo will be revered when and if he leaves it. Hopefully it is going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, it's interesting what Tomo says there, and everyone kind of says that, where sometimes he doesn't always look like he's fully in the game. And I think he said himself, you know, I think he was speaking to Arsene Wenger and he asked him, what is the difference between a good player and a top player? And Wenger said, well, it's someone who has that concentration that even if you feel it's not happening for you, you can pull out a bit of magic from your sleeve. And he just has that ability, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've listened to a few of the games that Tomo's commentated on, and the way he describes him as seeing them passes that other players don't, it's the work of, you know, he said genius, and he's doing that week in, week out. I think what differs him from the top out and out goal scorers, the likes of Haaland and etc., is his assist. The way you can pick a pass out that other players, you'd be looking at the likes of De Bruyne, Madison, the other players in the Premier League that can sort of have the eye for that pass. Salah's got that as well. You could see it with the goal Newcastle that Jones ran onto to score that. That sort of pass is pinpoint accuracy that Mo was doing at the minute, and that's why everyone's talking about it being, you know.
That goal against Real Madrid, how he picks out Cody at the far post, it's what he sees, but then it's the execution of it, you know, getting it between goalkeeper, being not a lot of space, playing it in behind. And in fairness to the players who play with him, a lot of them would be going, he can do this. If I make this run, he can put it in this right spot. So that's genius.
Well, he certainly did tonight from the penalty spot. Let's get our fan panel thoughts. Ryan Payton, I'm going to come to you first. Happy chappy, I imagine, tonight. You look it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's always... With the earlier Champions League kickoffs and away from home, it can be a bit of an awkward game as well. And I think people were surprised when that slot went so strong. But I think with the team selection, but I think it's been proven right. You know, it was I'm just pleased how comfortable it was for Liverpool. Very controlled throughout the game, and just to get those 3 points and to continue that positive momentum, get back onto winning terms after the draw last week. Just pleased all round, and obviously still top of both leagues and keeping our 100% win record in Champions League.
Tom, I'll come to yourself. Tom Greaves, it's a good point there that Ryan makes about the lineup, because a few people thought maybe the boss might go a little bit lighter, if you like. Was the starting 11 what you were anticipating, and what did you make of the game?
No, I did think he'd change it up a bit, but really, we've got a couple of injuries now. You know, Bradley and Tsimikas being out. So I thought that game was just primed for them to start and get a few minutes under the belt, but obviously not. But it was a strong team, and I agree with Tom. The penalty for me was cast iron, but it just shows you how fragile it can be, because when Diaz was down, your whole life's flashing before your eyes, thinking, oh my God, if he gets injured. And it was the same the other week. Gravenberch went down against Southampton, and you're thinking, please just get off that. But... obviously he did, and Mo puts the penalty away, and it's all good. But you know, I think we can afford to make a couple changes there because there was no derby at the weekend, which I actually think was a good thing. You know, playing in that sort of weather against a team like them, especially without Ibu and Ali Maka. But it's just, you know, still getting one over them with Donny van der Beek giving away the penalty and Dan Juma keeping him quiet.
What do you think, Tom, with the... Do you know this new format and the not knowing how many points that you'll actually need? Because like, a lot of people have said, oh, five, and then you should be guaranteed for the... But are you sure of that? It can change so quickly.
Yeah, it's the unknown, really, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
It's unprecedented because we don't really have anything to look at with previous seasons with it, obviously, with it being the first one. But I think we might not appreciate now just how well the side's doing until we see in future what the points tally is on average of teams who've played six games in the future. But you know, you can't take anything away from them as well because the sides that we played, Leipzig, Leverkusen, Madrid, these weren't bad tonight as well, by the way. I know like they're a bit of a graveyard for Premier League players, but you know, the tackles in the first half and stretched the game out, and you know, Liverpool showed the class. It's been the story of the season so far that we've just had a bit of a hectic first half, but got our heads together at half time and come out and, you know, obviously put the game to bed.
Camelia, I'm going to come to you now. You're in France. Whereabouts in France are we finding you tonight?
Paris.
Oh, good evening to beautiful Paris. Listen, you enjoy what you watch tonight?
Yeah. It's as it's been the whole season. It's a game of two halves where the first half we don't seem to be as dangerous or bringing as much, and then we just come up in the second half and we just bring something else. So this season, it feels like it's about just staying calm the first half, even though things may not look as good. And then second half, you kind of like hope after halftime the team is going to show up, and they seem to be showing up at every game, which is just amazing to see.
Yeah, it's an interesting point to ask the lads in the studio because, well, in terms of goals, 23, 20 have been scored in the second half. Yeah. Is that almost? I don't know whether it's on a slot style is that he's quite measured and then they build a little bit more, this Liverpool team?
I think
team,
as Camelia's saying there, is that, are we getting used to this now?
Yeah.
You know, it's been, I'd love them to start faster. I'm talking about it before the game with Steve Hunter. And you're quite right, we need us to start that little bit quicker. But I thought the performance and the start was better today. Than certainly the Newcastle game, which had us all on pins, didn't it?
Yeah, why would that be? Because I'm sure Onslaught would love them to go in at 2-0 up at half-time, but it doesn't seem to be happening that often.
Yeah, I guess it's the formations that they come up against the teams nowadays. The two games that stand out for me are United away and Palace away, where we actually did start really fast. I was watching that Palace game that they couldn't live with Liverpool at the start. And I think, you know, the teams who are... The Liverpool side are letting the game just play out that first half. It's the teams that are then going to realise and go, well, we'll change it before you change it, that are going to cause Arne a problem. I mean, we've won so many games now and doing so well. This, you know, the stats out there don't lie. So with the informed side that everyone's worried about at the minute, I think long may it continue. We'd love the fast start, but ultimately in the modern day, you come up against formations that change one, two, three times in a game. Watching the Bayer Leverkusen game at Anfield, it was first 20 minutes, it was tricky for Arne to break, to get any sort of run going because of how well that they defended.
Ryan, I'll ask you, does slow starts worry you at all, or is it just the overall picture, as long as the job gets done, that's all you're focused on?
Well, I think as long as the job's done at the end of the match, that's the main thing, isn't it? But I think like what's being alluded to, you know, you would like to see Liverpool start and not work their way into games as much and sort of maybe assert their own dominance. But it's not you can't have any complaints with how it's worked out so far this season. I think it's been towards the end of Klopp's tenure we were starting slow as well. But what Slot's managed to turn around is we were often conceding first. And what's happened with when since Slot's taken over, the slow start, and we're still working our way into the game, but we're not we're not leaving ourselves so exposed. We're actually going 1-0 down and chasing the game. So although I'd like us to maybe start a bit faster, I'm just quite I'm happy with how we're not going one goal behind as much anymore, and he's managed to sort of cure our defensive problems from last season.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you can't argue with 19 wins out of 22 games, can you? So it is obviously working.
Yeah, it's definitely working at the minute, and long may it continue. I mean, it's a joy to watch, as well as seeing the squad and the likes of, you know, Salah, Trent, Virgil all playing the best sort of football at the minute, and then having them players in front of them. The likes of Ryan, who's just pushed on completely, looks a completely different player, doesn't he, this season? So I think we're watching a Liverpool side that is so exciting at the minute. It could be one of them seasons that we look back and it shows how good that the appointment of Arne was.
I think it's a good point for those scoring goals, talking about scoring goals, 20 in the second halves. We have to give a lot of credit, I think Ryan alluded to it, to the defence. You know, we have been different. We do defend, I believe, a little bit deeper than what we did under Jürgen. We were always pushing and pushing and pushing. And now we hold our line a little bit better and we all drop together and we make it very difficult. You look at the stats, and I think it was Ryan who said, too many times we've gone a goal down and having to chase games. Now we're always in that. Although we're not scoring goals in the first halves, we're not out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big point to this present side that Arne has changed.
Yeah, we had Gary Gillespie on pre-match, and obviously centre-half like yourself, and we were talking with Martin about that communication between midfield and defence, and that is something that seems to really have been cracked this season. Has that impressed you a lot as well?
Yeah, it was. Even that last 10 minutes of the game, in the commentary, I'm going to say, come on, captain's role now. You know, this is now down to you. Pull the lads together. Make sure that there's nothing silly. We're together. We're having a good unit. We still push up and make sure that we're working together. And you could see Virgil urging the boys on. I think that has been... He's come to his fore again. I know he's still been a great player, but I think this season he's been exceptional as a leader out there on the pitch.
Yeah, Tom, I'll get your thoughts on that, because listen, obviously a solid defence is the foundation on which
Absolutely.
To build everything on, isn't it? It seems that Liverpool really do have that this season.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of people talking now saying they would never expect us to be in this position. And obviously the position that we're in is like ridiculous. We're running away with both of them at the minute. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, but at the start of the season I thought we'd be challenging. We were close last year, which people seem to be quick to forget. But like, just a question for Phil and Martin as well. As defenders, when you're coming up against the side like Liverpool, who've got so many different options up top, how are you preparing for that leading up to the game? How, like, are you preparing for like the worst case scenario, best case scenario? What, like, because obviously we can change it and bring Gakpo on, who offers you something totally different to what Diaz would.
I think it's a great options, and it'll be better when Diogo comes back, because it will be, and you're nervous there. You know, one of the lads was alluding to Luis Diaz getting stamped on, and his boots come off, and you start going, oh my goodness, we're talking about Cody Gakpo, other players, Darwin getting a knock. You're worried for it all the time, because these are producing at the moment.
Yeah.
No matter what, the changes that he makes, now we've seen, which is a great little bit of coaching, we've seen Luis Diaz ending up a centre forward, which is a little bit of a change. You know, Darwin loves the balls over the top, through the middle. Luis can do that, but can also come off the front. It creates all sorts, and we're given opposition defenders all sorts of problems all the time, different problems.
You want to add your thoughts? I think Tom addressed both of you. It's up to you.
I've been on the receiving end of a Liverpool side with Palace, so it does drain you. You've got Nunes who can make them runs in behind you, and then the likes of Jota and Lewis who can come and drop forward. So as an opposition player, it's about the communication, but ultimately when it comes to 60, 70 minutes, you're so tired. It only takes one player to switch off and not track the run that he's been doing for 70 minutes, and the lads are in. the game model for Liverpool is always trying to get them five players, whoever it is, and there's so many of them that change now, it can be a fullback at times, in behind the opposition's back four, back five. And it's so difficult for players to keep that out of your box for 90 minutes.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV. You can watch all the latest on-demands and live content directly through your smart TV, whether that's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show. It is another precious 3 points for Liverpool in the Champions League tonight. Mo Salah's penalty, the difference in the end in Girona. Arne Slot's been speaking with Rob Jones and LFC TV.
Well, Arne, congratulations. Would it be fair to say that was a game where you had a lot more control in the second half than you did in the first?
Yeah, that's safe to say. But it's still not good enough in the second half. I think especially in the first 10 minutes before we scored the penalty, they were a threat on the counter-attack. So they were able to play through our press. If we lost the ball, we weren't aggressive enough in our counter-press to keep them away from our goal. So overall performance, good from them. Quite poor for us, but still a win.
What do you put that down to?
Well, I just said, I think Girona made it really difficult for every team they've played against till now, for the only exception PSV Eindhoven, but for the rest, they've always shown that they are very capable of playing, bringing the ball out from the back. And if you play against teams like this, you have to be really intense with your pressing, like we were against City, like we were against Real Madrid. But if you lack 5 to 10%, which we lacked today, then it's going to become a problem for you, because then they every time can play through you and you have to rely on your goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet.
Well, we spoke yesterday about your goalkeeper and what a boost it was to have him back, and he's proved certainly in the first half just how key he's going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's always nice to have all the players fit. Now we don't have all of them, but to have Ali back is of course a boost for us, although Cuive did so well. But I think Ali proved today, maybe that's what the players wanted him to prove today, that he's the best goalkeeper in the world. Now he showed it. Hopefully next time we don't need him that much.
It's 20 now of the last 23 goals you've scored have been in the second half. Is that something you can take a bit of pride in as a coach, that clearly you're working things out and the messages you're getting across to the players are working?
I'm not too sure if that's the reason why we scored in the second half. Could also be in a normal game, so not today, that the tempo is so high during the game that especially in the second half the team we face has some problems with that intensity. Today that was definitely not the situation, because our intensity was quite low. I don't exactly know what it is. It might be a bit of both, about us preparing the team even better in the second half than the first half, but also how fit our players are to be able to score the second half.
Just finally then, we spoke yesterday about, I guess you're sort of guessing and predicting how this might work out with how many points, but you would think that would be enough. You'll only know tomorrow night, I guess, but it will probably take a little bit of pressure off those two games in January now.
Yeah, I think everybody expects that 18 points is enough to go to the next round, so to not play the other round. We have to wait for the results, and then still maybe some teams have to play each other. So, but there are people who probably can find out for me. We just want to win the last two games as well, because no one has played this tournament before in this way. So, but I expect it's better to end up first than to end up eighth. So we want to end up as high as we can, but it's a good thing that we already have these 18 points.
Safe journey home. Thank you.
Yeah, honestly, I think we'll just be happy. One of those games where you just want to get the points and get back home and job done for them tonight.
It was the first time he's maybe not happy. He's always nice and calm, but he's going, no, it wasn't good enough. We could have done better in our counter press. when we were doing it. And first time he's not having a go, but he's trying to. And I think this is one of the pleasing things with Arne Slot is he gives you good tactical awareness at times about what he's done. And you see him there, ooh, it certainly wasn't in that second half. And you're going, wow, you know, we thought both halves quite similar, nothing special. But he's obviously picked out and not happy with certainly a few things there. And I think it's quite refreshing to get that off a manager.
Yeah, he's very open and frank and honest a lot of the time, isn't he? But he said there, Tomo just said, but lacking 5 to 10%, he felt maybe the intensity wasn't quite at the level he would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the game, I'm sure we'll watch the game back, you could see that it was at times basketball-less, wasn't it? Especially first half, so from a neutral point of view, it was quite insane as a game, but from Arne's point of view, you want to realise why that was happening. So I think in terms of the control element of the game that we've seen under Arne's game so much this season, that wasn't particularly the case throughout this game. It was more end-to-end from what we've been used to sort of previous seasons. So I think him being frustrated is, you know, a good thing, because he's obviously got the standards he's got. And listen, they were a good side to watch. I thought tonight they came out and gave it a real go at times, and you could tell from the chances that created they could have gone 1-0 up easily, and then, you know, start the second half from kickoff they nearly scored, didn't they?
One of the big things, I think that was because of Trent's poor pass, wasn't it, inside. One of the big things is fitness levels, you know, and what they do in first halves, it's wear teams down. Pass it and everything and keeping it. And once you know if your fitness levels are better, Martin, you said that last sort of 20 minutes, they start to tire in the mind as well as in the legs. And that's where maybe our fitness level and what we've done and how we reserve all that by what we do in first halves, we come on stronger in the second half of games.
Yeah, sorry, you were going to ask. Obviously, he said about Alisson being kept pretty busy. We spoke about Ali before, but I think Arne Danjuma, if he'd had a better end product, could have caused Liverpool quite a lot of problems tonight. I think one of the attempts went out for a throw-in, which wasn't his finest moment, I don't think.
No, definitely. They had chances. Espria as well was quite lively at times. But yeah, I think Ali coming back into a game like this where he has been busy just proves, you know, one, his fitness, and two, that he's been out for over 8 weeks now, so you'd usually see a little bit of rust, wouldn't you? But from tonight, his game was amazing, and when we needed him, I just think, as you know, Tomo was a defender like I was, and when you have a keeper behind you where you can just get on with your job and forget about what's behind you, it's so reassuring for the lads, and that's obviously not only what he brings, being so, you know, assured on the ball, but the saves he makes is why he's talked about as being the top 2-3% goalkeepers in the world.
Yeah, we are actually going to hear from Alisson very shortly. But before we do, we mentioned a tough night for Arne Danjuma. Darwin Núñez as well had another frustrating one, Tomo. I know our fan panel, Camelia, wants to talk about this in a moment. But your thoughts on Darwin tonight? He will have found it difficult, I think, at times.
Yeah,
tonight.
He did. We were saying, Steve Hunter and myself, doing the commentary, that you were urging him to score. Just needs to be a bit more controlled. The first one on his left foot, you don't mind that, because it's your weaker foot. So he's put his foot through it and the keeper's made a good save. It's I think it's the second one, most slips him in inside right position. And he can really sort of, he just drives it and the keeper saved it with his legs. Make it sound quite... But you should be working them and just putting it in the far side. If you look at it again, you can see there's a lot of goal to the goalkeeper's right. And Darwin just, he doesn't sort of, he's not cute enough with it. And I felt for him tonight because he was working hard. It's just not going for him in front of goal.
I think the hardest thing is obviously confidence plays a huge part, doesn't it? And you only get that confidence through scoring goals. And he's just in a very difficult period with that at the moment.
Yeah, and I think there will be a point in his career where that does change. I think we'd be more worried if he's getting, you know, one or two chances each game and not converting. And he's getting into the right positions, and it's the work off the ball that we understand as fans now how hard that is to the press in the modern game starts by your forwards, and him at pressing is, you know, A1. He's really good at that. So I think he's, like you said, any forward. I was a defender, so I wouldn't know. But as a forward, it's a confidence thing, right? So I guess he'll keep practicing on the training pitch. And yeah, as long as he's getting into them positions, I think that's the main thing.
He's got the trust of the manager, hasn't he? Because he's playing them all the time. It's not like he's just keeping on the bench, doesn't trust them to actually start. So he's given them the minutes out there on the pitch. He's just got to deliver.
As you say, you're a defender. I imagine playing and trying to defend against someone like Darwin Nunez would be hard because he makes himself a real nuisance for defenders. It's just sometimes that the end product, he can't quite get it away.
Yeah, I think you go on about forwards and sort of them positions when they do get into the box that all the top coaches will tell you that they go calm right before they shoot. And I think that's all Darwin's missing at the minute. Sometimes that end product, when he's so fast and explosive into getting them positions, when he does ultimately come in front of goal or the cross comes across the box, he's just got to keep himself calm to have that composure to convert the chances.
As a defender, I hated the pace of a striker. Certainly the ones who kept running that way, and a lot of them used to run offside with it when we played. But there was, if you're going all the time, you always, there's going to be one mistake in here, there's going to be one, and you keep on doing it and you get the rewards in the end. He's just got to have his self-belief that it will come good again.
Listen, I'm going to bring in Camellia because I know you've got a lot of positive thoughts about Darwin Nunez. Camellia, you think it is going to change for him soon, his luck will turn?
Yeah, I'm going to reference, as I do remember, years back when, you know, Peter Crouch was struggling and was trying and then couldn't get a goal in. And I'm positive and always very optimistic with players and trying to support them. So I can see the work he's doing and how much he's, you know, tiring the defence around. So I'm just hopeful that he's just going to be able to score that goal that kind of like open it up for him and for us as well, because I think everyone would be more calm if Salah score one, but then we know that Nunez can score those 2-3 chances that he's, it feels like it's so easy to score and then he just misses it, that last little touch. So I think I would hope that he's just going to be getting that last touch to be able to put that ball into the net, like when we had Peter Crouch years ago struggling to score and then eventually scoring loads of goals.
Ryan, let me ask you, because I think Camellia's said it there, but there is so much goodwill, I think, amongst the fan base for Darwin Nunez, and everyone really wants to see him succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can see his work ethic, and he is absolutely tireless with the way he presses and with the way, you know, he gives every defender a bit of a nightmare with his energy that he gives on the pitch. And you can't fault his effort at all. But it does worry me sometimes when, because I'm happy for him to see Nunez when his hold of play remains quite when his hold of play remains strong. But I think over the past few weeks when he's been in those central areas, possession's been breaking down with him. So it's not been, the frustration for me over recent weeks hasn't just been the fact that he has been misfiring in front of goal. It's been actually like that hold of play has been a miss in terms of a few times in the first half. You know, Liverpool were building up to the final third, and it was a loose touch from Nunez. And I don't want to criticise him too much, because, you know, his pressing is relentless, and I think he is a player that goes in patches, and there will be a patch this season when he does start, if he finds a bit of confidence and he does find some goals going form. But at the moment, being set into where people's thoughts in the studio maybe about this, whether I think Diaz lately, when he's been moving in central, his holder play is arguably the best in our whole squad. It's almost like, whether for this run of form at the moment while Jota's coming back to fitness, whether I'd rather see Diaz central or Nunez and Gakpo swapping on the left side.
Interesting one, Tom. Are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, looking at it, I think with Darwin playing today, I would think we might see Luis Diaz. It's fair from Ryan, is that he might start down the middle. There's going to be a packed defence. And as we've seen, it's always more difficult for Darwin when there's nowhere to run in behind, particularly that was such packed defences today. Luis Diaz seems to have closer control in and around, say, sort of 5 or 10 yards outside the penalty box. He looks better in possession. And I would think Fulham will be a difficult game. And I would think at this moment, my thoughts, it would be Luis Diaz down the centre on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not something we've seen an awful lot of, but Tomo likes that. Your thoughts, Martin? Something you'd like to see more of, maybe?
Yeah, I think all us as fans have seen Luis and Gakpo, whatever games they've played, and they've played so well, we want them both to start, don't we? So if that gets Luis's chance in playing alongside in the same game as Gakpo, then so be it. I think Arne will definitely break down Fulham and how they press, and if they go, you know, man for man, or if they will just sit off into that low block, and maybe it might be the right game for Luis to come and get into them positions that the runners off the back of the other defenders will be for the likes of, you know, Dominic and Salah and Gakpo the other side. So it'll be interesting to see. I think he definitely deserves his start, and as a false nine that we see
the first time he started as a centre forward, and we were all, he ended up, was it two or three goals or something like that? I can't remember which
went
game
quite
it
well,
was.
Yeah.
And you went, oh wow. It was quite, but then all of a sudden we're going, this is what Arne has brought. It's brought something different to the table. Of all what Jürgen did for us, never played Luis Diaz as centre dash. And we're all like that thinking, wow, this is looking good. It's another option to our attacking threat.
Yeah, and obviously, Tom, another option is, of course, Diogo Jota. You've seen that footage of him back in training. Obviously, tonight came a little bit too early for him, but you're going to be spoilt for choice up there once again quite soon, I think.
Yeah, I was hoping that he'd get a look in today, actually. He's obviously been brilliant, and he's been a bit of a miss for us since he's been out, just to give us that extra option to, you know, to bring on or start. Hopefully he can get himself a couple of minutes against Fulham. But just on Darwin, I think a lot of it is it's in his head, but it's his mentality that makes us love him, because the way he acts on the pitch, and you can see how desperate he is to score. He just acts like how any one of us would if we were playing for us. Arnie sounded a little bit critical there, you know, talking about how the match went, but I think there's plenty to take from that. Like, obviously, you were talking about the goalkeeper before. Alisson back, he's showing us why he's the number one. It's no slight on Kelleher whatsoever. I think he's been absolutely brilliant every single time that he's been called upon. But there was a few saves there that just showed us how much he can impact the game. But sorry, you went off on one there. With Darwin,
it's quite all right. Don't you worry.
It's almost because of what he does on the ball, he almost enables the wingers, because he occupies the defenders. He almost enables the wingers to do what they want and encourages their play. I actually think he's been good this season. I think he got a lot of question marks around him after the Newcastle game, but in total, I think, you know, whatever the manager's asking him to do, I think he must be doing it.
See, there's a lot of pluses, Tom. Don't you think a lot of pluses tonight after not the debacle of Newcastle, but Ryan was back to his best today. Curtis Jones was a really top performance. Joe Gomez back to his best. Concentration levels.
Almost scored.
But there was a lot of plus points from other players rather than just Ali, who's come back. You look at those other players and you're going, poor, you know, it's good to get this game and get that little bit of confidence back, because you worried for Ryan. I don't know about you, Tom, but I worried for Ryan after that game against Newcastle. He looked tired. And today he was back to his best. Tom?
Yeah, that's it. There's been quite a few reports saying that we are now settled with Gravenberch in the sixth position. But I think, you know, if we're not looking to sign anybody else. I know we were in for people in the summer, but heading towards January, and we've had these little scares where players go down and it makes you think, I think I'd like to see us go in and just, you know, we're in such a good position on both fronts now that to strengthen now, it will give us such a massive kick on. When we got Diaz a couple of years ago, and he come in and we almost won everything. He was exactly the right thing we needed at that time just to kick us on. because Gravenberch has been, I'm not doubting him here, he's been unbelievable for us, and I never would have guessed that he'd be the one to step up in that position. But he's become so good that if he now suddenly gets a freak injury or anything happens, then you know, you're searching around for replacements, aren't you?
I'm Andy Robertson.
I'm Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I'm Virgil van Dijk. Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
You'll never walk alone.
Mo Salah's penalty taking all 3 points for Liverpool against Girona this evening. And it was the return of Alisson tonight as well. He's been speaking with LFC TV and Rob Jones.
Ali, is it nice to be back?
Great to be back. Honestly, I was looking forward for this moment. 9 weeks working so hard, you cannot believe. But it was worth it, every moment, every session, every training, to go back on the pitch, deliver a good performance to help the team with the points, with the clean sheet. And having this feeling is so good. When you are away for so long, you just are grateful for everything that you have done, and for the people as well who worked by my side, the physio staff department, mainly Linobs, the doctor, all the boys, they were fantastic. My personal staff as well. So my family, all the people who worked together with me, I'm so glad to have them on my side.
Is it something that gets you through the toughest of gym sessions then, the thought of making that first save in a game?
Yeah. I think when you make the first save, you just want to keep doing your best. I wanted tonight to be perfect for us, and perfect means the 3 points and the clean sheet for a goalkeeper. But of course, the performance, we know that we could do better with the ball and without the ball. But for tonight, I will be glad anyway, because it was a hard work for me to come back, and I just want to keep this feeling, enjoying every game now from now on, and stay fit.
Fair to say you were kept busy in that first half as well. Is that quite good in a weird way, that if you've had a long injury, you actually want to make a few saves in the game to get yourself back into the rhythm?
Well, I don't think too much about that, to be honest. Before the match, I just want to do whatever is necessary to deliver a good performance, either if it's playing from behind or if it's making saves, catching crosses. And it was necessary to make some saves, catching some crosses, and that's it. I was just enjoying so much the game, enjoying being back, and I enjoy now the victory. But we have Saturday already, a big challenge, and the season is just at the beginning. We have a difficult moment coming now, really decisive for us in the Premier League. So we're going to stay focused on the next challenge that we have to deliver the best and try to get the 3 points.
You hinted at it there, and the manager said it to us as well, that there were large parts of the performance he wasn't quite so happy with today. But is that also the sign of a good team, that you can come away in the Champions League and still win when you're not at your best?
Yeah, it's part of a winner team. For sure, you see so many teams during the seasons winning trophies and they don't deliver the best performances ever. But if you want to look for consistency, you have to play better game after game. Of course, we are not machines. We're going to have not so good days. But the good thing of football, you have another chance in 3 days. We just have to prepare ourselves. Don't be so upset. Be happy for the points, but also have the acknowledge of the things that you have to improve. And it's not something that we have to make new. It's just look to the good things we did in the games, like for example against Man City, against Real Madrid, and just keep on doing that, keep on going with that. Now having the players coming back from injuries is good as well. Myself, other players, Diogo, Chiesa, Maka was out today, but everybody's is ready to make the difference.
Just finally then, playing at all after an injury was something you were looking forward to, but I imagine playing again at Anfield at the weekend will be even better.
I'm looking forward, man, again. Anfield is always special. Against a tough opponent, Fulham, they are playing really well this season. We know that will be difficult as it was today, or even more. But yeah, I'm excited to be there on Saturday to play this game.
It's good to see you back. Well done. Thank you.
Yeah, Alison, absolutely itching to get back to Anfield this weekend. And Ryan, I imagine that you're itching to see him back between the sticks as well.
Absolutely. We're so blessed to have two such fantastic goalkeepers at Liverpool. I think it was after the Man City game when Kelleher saved that 1-1 from De Bruyne, and I was like, how can... If when Alisson's fit, is he even going to make the first 11? And then you've only got to see him when he's back in the first team, and you realise just how good Alisson is and how that he is. It's no slight on Kelleher, just that Alisson is the best goalkeeper in the world, and he's just so commanding, and he's such a huge presence, and he just immediately shown that within about 10 minutes of the game when he's making those saves, and when he makes those punches, and he doesn't just, you know, he can clear so much ground with a punch because he's got such a presence. So yeah, I'm not too sure. I think after the last injury he picked up, I think Slot said he wished he hadn't played him like two games in a row, like after the Champions League game and the Premier League game. So I don't know whether that might come into his mind, whether he does actually start on Saturday, but I can't wait to see him back in goal for us in the league anyway, whenever that may be.
Well, it'll probably be against Fulham, I imagine.
Well, he's picked himself, hasn't he? If you listen to Ali,
he's basically
there.
Just said, I'm starting the weekend.
But boss.
Fulham, a difficult, like, tricky team to predict when you look at their results so far. 6 wins, 5 draws, 4 defeats. You never quite know what you're going to get from them.
These are improving. Marco Silva's done a great job. He's getting some pace in his side. Traoré, we always know that he's quick. Maybe his final ball's not great, but he can cause you all sorts of problems. Alex Iwobi has just been terrific, hasn't he? He's had a great spell. Smith Rowe in midfield. You look at the front men, but it's the people behind that as well. They've got a big goal threat now in games.
Yeah, Camellia, it looks like they are building a solid foundation under Marco Silva, but still quite unpredictable. You look at their recent results, only a few weeks ago, beaten 4-1 by Wolves. Since then, they've beaten Brighton, obviously drew with Arsenal at the weekend, so it's quite a tough one to call in terms of which Fulham side is going to turn up.
Yeah, but you want to hope for, and with the power of Anfield, and I think that's something that is special for us as well, is our stadium and how, you know, it's a special atmosphere, and the team and the energy with us being top of the Champions League, top of the league, we do have that extra power. So I want to think that it doesn't matter which team turned up, we have that extra thing in us this season that seems to be slightly different. So hopefully that's, you know, a little something will happen that will make the crowd go, and then we'll have that extra energy, and it doesn't matter how which Fulham team turns up, we'll be able to push and win the game and stay on top.
Well, it was a wild one the last time they met at Anfield. I think it was pretty much a year ago, wasn't it, that the 4-3, the two late goals from Endo and then Trent within 1 or 2 minutes of each other, but ideally something a little bit calmer maybe on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the slot Liverpool now. We're calmer.
We're more
in control of everything.
I was going to say, Marco Silva, their manager, he demands the work rate from his side. So they'll definitely have no bones about it. They'll come starting right out of the blocks, I think. So in terms of the Liverpool lads getting themselves back, getting all the recovery done now over the past next couple of days, and then hopefully the fans, like Miller said, are right behind us on Saturday.
Obviously important to keep that gap as well, which has been chipped away at naturally at the weekend, because obviously Liverpool didn't play, although Arsenal and City did not capitalise as much as they would have wanted to on that opportunity.
Yeah, it was a difficult one. Chelsea are obviously going to prove a thorn by looking at it. Certainly the way they played against us at Anfield. But we just need to do our own job, Beck. We need to sort of keep our own confidence, keep positive in everything that we do. And Camellia said there, the power of Anfield. We need to make sure that we are up for every game.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday, though, with more analysis and exclusive interviews too from Anfield after Liverpool take on Fulham in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.